He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I cannot believe I have been surviving these last few weeks without checking in with my favorite doctor. Dr. Brown is back. Hi, friend. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Melissa?
Oh, my gosh. You sound refreshed and ready for business.
Ready for business.
Oh, my goodness.
What you got for me?
So I have been approached by even my own husband about this pneumonia that came over from China. It's been detected in Ohio. And a lot of people are worried about it, especially, like I said, my husband and even parents of kids in my son's kindergarten class. Do you know anything about this childhood pneumonia thing that came over to the U.S.?
Let me see which one they're referring to.
Did I stump you? Okay, I think it's mycoplasma?
Oh, mycoplasma, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just have
don't
to look and see.
I have no idea. I don't know.
No. You're actually, that's very helpful.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I could be helpful because, you know, I never really know if I'm actually helpful to anyone. So that's
it was very helpful. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, you're I mean, all right, I'm back on track.
Well, you know, Melissa, it's the season, so there's a lot of different things that can potentially come. So mycoplasma pneumonia is actually not a new bacteria.
Oh, it's not? Okay, well, first of all, let's just eliminate then the fake news headlines that's like, oh my gosh, China does it again. Here comes the pneumonia that's going to kill our kids.
No,
all right, well,
it's actually a really common pneumonia.
Oh.
So when we talk about pneumonias, we talk about two different types of pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
The first one we talk about is what we call a typical pneumonia.
Right.
And these are bacterial pneumonias, at least, because we can split them up to bacterial, viral. You know, there can also be fungal pneumonias, very rare, but that do occur. So just to clarify, so when we talk about bacteria pneumonias, there's two types. There's a typical bacteria and there's an atypical bacteria. The typical bacteria, the one that you probably heard about, is a bacteria called Streptococcus pneumoniae.
Yes, I have, and I can never say it because I mess it up. So, yes, I have heard of that, though.
So we actually shorten it and call it strep pneumo because it makes it even
easier.
There you
go. I like that. Okay.
Strep pneumo is the common cause of pneumonia. It's so common that there is a vaccine that we recommend for people who have lung disease or you know, getting older. So that's the Pneumovax vaccine that we use.
Okay.
That is probably the most common cause of bacterial pneumonia.
Yikes.
Now, there's a whole bunch of other things that can actually cause pneumonias, and the different category goes into atypical pneumonias. And atypical pneumonias actually has a bacteria that we've talked about before. That actually also includes Legionella. And remember, we talked about Legionnaire's disease.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's
also an atypical pneumonia. And one of the atypical pneumonias is also mycoplasma pneumonia. Now, mycoplasma pneumonia, I won't get too much. It's an interesting bacteria. It doesn't have a cell wall. There's a whole bunch of interesting factors about mycoplasma pneumonia. The thing about mycoplasma pneumonia is it typically infects younger individuals. It's not the typical. Maybe that's probably why it's called an atypical, right? It's not the typical pneumonia.
Okay.
And it can cause pneumonia. Sometimes people confuse this with walking pneumonia, mild pneumonia. Those are all kind of synonymous with mycoplasma.
Okay.
So it's very treatable with antibiotics.
Okay. All right. So good. Overall, I feel good about everything. I definitely got lost in the sauce a little bit there, but that's because because you're the infectious disease expert, and I am just I'm listening and taking this all in. But I guess what I learned from you is that this is not something to, you know, pull the fire alarm over. However, it's common. It can happen during this time of year.
Absolutely.
And it is treatable. So this is not end all.
That's exactly right. And, reconfirming. So I think the big thing is the atypical pneumonia, commonly called walking pneumonia. And the reason why it's called walking pneumonia is because you can have the pneumonia and still function with it.
Okay.
It's almost like a common cold, cough, fever, shortness of breath. You know, you could potentially have some chest pain and fatigue. But a lot of times these will resolve without even knowing it, and they can resolve on their own. Now, that being said, I mean, if you're having symptoms, then you want to make sure that you're following up with it. But yes, you can see upticks with this.
Okay. So we have Dr. Brown here. We're playing catch up. A lot of stuff has been going on. Here's something, Dr. Brown, that I have even experienced personally, but certainly I've heard from plenty of people. Why does it feel? Why does it feel like we have all been sick since September? I mean, we literally can't get out of our own ways. And it doesn't matter how many shots we've taken. It doesn't matter how many medications we are on, no matter how many vitamins we take, no matter how it feels like we as a society cannot get out of our own ways. I have been sick. You can hear it. I've been like this since September, it feels like. My kid has been like this since. And it feels like everyone around me has been the same way. What's going on? Why?
Yeah.
Talk to me. Tell me.
Why?
Tell me why.
So,
why?
As you know, my theory is always balance in middle of the line. And as it goes, what happens is that when you have several years of no viral infections, remember, we haven't really had, besides COVID, which has been our major focus, we really haven't had a lot of viral infections. I mean, people haven't people have commented on me, you know, at least the last couple years until recently, said, wow, you know what, this is probably the first year that I didn't have the cold at all. I didn't have anything. This is great. And I think that had to do with masks, and that had to do with everything else. Now, there's good and bad with that. That's great that you didn't have it, but unfortunately, we're not the only ones who live on this earth. We also have, you know, all these little microbes that live here also, and they go through cycles, and they make changes, and then they sort of adapt and adjust with us. And if we don't have a period of time where we have gotten infections, that means that our immune system hasn't seen them, and that means everything that comes to us from basically the last 3 years, as these little organisms have made changes, have now making us sick. And that's sort of it's actually going back to balance. So by next year, we should be back in balance and having sort of the normal amount of colds. But I would expect people to have more colds, coughs. These are mostly, I would say what you're mostly getting is viruses. And these are viruses sort of coming back, and they're just sort of trying to get back to, this is payback, exactly.
Cool.
This is getting back into balance.
Thanks a lot, science. We really appreciate it. Love your payback. Oh, my Lord. It is just, oof.
Yeah. And I think we kind of knew this was coming. We're still doing okay with the flu, though. Now that we did see an uptick earlier on, and you know, partly in the fall, we haven't seen as many as we would be concerned about. We thought it was going to be a little bit more aggressive, and that might be because everybody got their flu shot, which is excellent. So we're hopefully we stay out of it. We do have a second round of flu that's coming. So every year you have flu A, which typically can be as early as August and last till December, and then can go into January, February, but then it transitions to flu B, which has a tendency to be late December into could be as long as March.
Great.
So.
Hey, you know what? Anything's better than nothing, right? I mean, okay, at least we've got a little bit of a timeline that we could follow along with. Oh, good grief, I tell you. Dr. Brown is here for a couple more minutes, and Dr. Brown, I'm going to go to a couple of questions from our listeners. This one is from Pat. How long, Dr. Brown, does it take the RSV vaccine to reach maximum effectiveness, and how long does it last?
Well, that's a great question. So I could probably answer one with full confidence. The second one, not so much.
Okay.
The first one is going to be is that maximum effectiveness will be after 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that's actually a hard fast. That is a rule of thumb whenever you're dealing with immunology. So your body responds to the vaccine. As it responds to the vaccine, it has to go through some transitions and has to present it to other cells in your body. That process takes about 2 weeks. So if you're getting any vaccine, you're not going to be fully effective, or you're not going to have any real good effect until about 2 weeks. You could have some, but in general, the 2 weeks is the rule of thumb.
Okay. And then we don't know how
duration,
long it's going to last.
That's the other one. Not sure how it's going to last, but it's likely that it's going to be a very long-lasting RSV vaccine. But we're just, it looks like we don't need a booster at this point, and you're definitely not going to need an annual booster. But I don't know exactly how long it's going to be effective. So we'll continue to do that with the longer-term studies.
And another thing, Dr. Brown, which I think we get this usually every single year, somebody who reached out, and you never know if the time really gets away from them, or maybe they're starting to get sick and now they're worried about it. But I got the question of, is it too late to get a flu vaccine at this point?
It is not. Not at all. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, you need to be worried about, I mean, you got the end of flu A, or it could be a late uptick. So you got to be careful about that. But flu B. Flu B is typically not as severe as flu A, but can be. And there's been some bad cases that I've seen throughout my career secondary to flu B. So absolutely, I would get it. I would still get the vaccine, and I would prefer, you know, get it soon. I think after March, you're good. You don't need it anymore until the next year.
Okay. So it feels like we are probably going to be in sort of this cycle of continuous illnesses, it sounds like, until at least through February, maybe March.
That's probably about it. And I appreciate the shout out from Paul Piorek. That was nice.
That's pretty cool, right? I mean, that's Paul Piorek.
I've made it now.
You are right now. Yeah, right. You can retire right now if you want. You're like, I made it to the pinnacle of my existence. So
tell him we need colder weather. I mean, people don't want colder weather, but we got to get rid of the ticks. Otherwise, we're going to talk about tick-borne illness.
You know, so it's so funny you say that, because I was actually going to bring that up. I know we've run out of time, but we should certainly talk about that, because I pulled a tick off my cat last week, and I thought to myself, it's December. This is crazy. Yeah. Ticks aren't dying yet, huh? They're still kind of lingering.
And you still got to make sure that you still have to use, and this is probably now the case for all animals, that you're going to have to continue to use the, either
the
a spot
stuff.
Or
yep.
tick stuff. Yeah, you're going to have to continue it, because it just hasn't been cold enough. We need some snow. Tell Paul we need snow.
And you know what? I will. You know, I'm going to get your message over to him right now. I'm going to shoot him a quick text. I'm going to let him know that the good doctor wants you to get the snow going, and then we should be in better spirits.
I'll work on his cold. He can work on the snow.
I love that. You guys could just swap the cold thing. You can work on his cold, and he can work on making it cold. I love it.
That's
great.
Perfect.
That's a
perfect.
Great deal. I'm just going to watch it all unfold from over here, since no one asked me to do anything, and that'll be great. Dr. Brown, I am so glad you're back. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, you too. Dr. Brown of Griffin Health here on WICC.